everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP. Join me as always, the co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Nick Martin. What up, sir?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
How's that fasting going?
Oh, man. So, yeah. By the time this actual episode drops, I will probably have completed that plan, but to talk about it right now, I started a brand new fitness program with a recent guest, Joel Staley. Anyway, I did a 48-hour fast. I was starving. I ate last night, and now I'm in the middle of another 72-hour fast, and I've already dropped like 7 pounds. But that's neither here nor there. We can discuss that in a minute. What's important is we got one hell of a guest for you today. Man, we are excited for this. We've been looking forward to this for a while. An amazing dad. You might know him from the Sister Hazel fame, frontman, acoustic player, the man, the myth, Mr. Ken Block. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Oh, good. We're great, man. Great to have you on, man. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to be on Dadcast.
I'm starving just hearing about you fasting like that, man.
Let me tell you, it's, I know there's times where all of us have gone like a day without eating and you don't even think about it. But when you are on a program and on a plan where you're conscious of what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it, it is it wasn't horrible. You know, I'm a man, I could do it. I'll tell you what, about hour 24-25, when it's dinner time and my kids are eating and mom's eating, and in another instance, literally right before we got on, my daughter came out and she said, "Dad, I'm hungry, will you make me something?" And I was like, but can you maybe try to figure it out yourself as to not torture your papa? You know what he's going through right now.
It's rough, man, isn't it?
Yeah, but the
result's going to be so worth it, though.
Yeah, it's been.
When I started my fitness journey, holy crap, man. Like, it was rough. And then, but now it's like, liking what I'm seeing.
We're 3 days in. Yeah, I've already lost 7 pounds.
That's fantastic, man.
Long way to go, though.
What do they say? Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I'll make that decision once that time comes. And I can't remember back to high school anymore when I was skinny. All right, so Ken Block, Sister Hazel, man, of course, I need to ask you the all-important question when it comes to Dadcast, and that, of course, is, are you a dad?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you are.
I'm a dad 3 times over.
3 times. Boys, girls, names, ages.
All right, so they're a little older now, my I have a boy, girl. My boy just turned 21. My daughter is 18, and my younger daughter is 16.
All right.
And today went to get the driver's license. So we had, I talked to Nick earlier briefly. I was like, man, we juggled things today. Had some cross wires, but we got there. We got our license, and a big day at the blockhouse.
So the youngest got her driver's license.
Yeah, man, that's a crazy thing. Oh,
man, there's not too many milestones left, unfortunately, you know?
No, man, that's a big one. You guys remember that?
Well, I
remember when you got your license.
He might. My kid's 16, and she doesn't have her license yet.
My daughter just got her license. So, it's scary. It's like,
I'm just saying, do you remember when you got yours?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the greatest day in the world.
I agree. It was a little different, I know, for me and our generation. Our kids these days, a lot of them are waiting to get their licenses. And my personal theory on that is they're all connected digitally. So, like, they all know where each other are, and they kind of know what's going on. We had to go and like find people and meet them and figure out where everything was going on. They're in touch. So does that make sense?
Absolutely. Have we inadvertently touched on another why social media sucks topic?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, right, we are so connected, and they could just pop on their iPhones and they could see each other right there and, go to their meeting rooms and do whatnot. It's just, I find that kind of sad, man. When I got my license, I felt like painting my face blue, putting on a kilt and going screaming freedom, but I guess it's different these days, huh?
It is different. I mean, if you missed back then, if you missed the party or where everybody was hanging out, you missed it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You were searching all night. Now everybody's connected.
Now you got Instagram story. You go in and you're like, oh, hey, there's a party.
Yeah, exactly.
You just open it up and oh, there's, yeah, the location. There it is.
Yeah, oh, there it is. Exactly. Drop a pin. Yeah, I'm glad. You know, we in the 90s when the band took off, I'm super grateful that there was not the digital capabilities of capturing every single thing we were up to and doing. You know what I mean? We don't need those fingerprints around.
For No, we don't.
I can tell you some stories of some friends of mine that are in some bands that will remain nameless that are quite famous that I was at some parties that, oh my God, thank God there's no social media and nothing we can look back on.
Absolutely, man. I mean, it's a whole different world now.
It's crazy.
So your firstborn son, 21 years old, you say? How did how fresh of 21 is he? And, you know, I did a little digging. I went down the rabbit hole on Ken Block, and I know you are you're in recovery. And congratulations on that as well.
Thanks, man.
That's no small feat.
Thus the grateful mindset of no cameras back
before recovery. But how in your situation as a father who's in recovery navigate that being fresh 21? And I mean, does he go to the bars? Is that something he's interested in or anything?
Really interesting. My kids, they've seen firsthand, you know, some of the ravages of alcoholism or substance abuse. They know my story. I got sober when my son was 2. So my daughters have never really seen me. I had a little relapse a couple of years ago, but we'll talk about that in a minute maybe. But I lost my brother-in-law that they all remember, their uncle, to substance abuse. Andrew lost a brother-in-law from the band that they knew. They watched that. They've seen some of that. And so they're real careful. They're not, they don't have the same sort of drive that I had to be plugged in and doing all those different things at that age. They're a lot more introverted, and they don't seem to be wired quite the same way I was.
All right. I want to say good, but not necessarily, you know, it's just, I mean,
it's just a different thing. But, yeah. My son, it's funny. He's like just the most agreeable, mellow, kind-hearted dude. Like they like going to flea markets and finding stuff to buy and rebuild and fix up and sell and make some money. And I mean, that's a fun Saturday afternoon for them. So I'm like, hey man, you're 21 going on 60. I love it.
I wish my oldest daughter could do that. Go 16 crazy, going on, you know, we could just skip from now to 25. That would be okay too. But
yeah there's a lot to navigate out there, man.
Yeah, there is. There's, it's just, oh.
So how old are yours, JP?
16. She's 17 in December. My son just turned 11 last week. And my little baby, she's 8.
Yeah, you're right in the thick of it, man.
Yeah, I got a late start. But, man, my eyes. So, full disclosure here. We're in Southern Oregon, and the entire state's on fire, and so is Northern California. Man. And no matter what you do, you can't escape the smoke. I mean, and it is something fierce. So my eyes are starting to freak out a little bit right now. I apologize. That's why I keep going for the eye, and it's just water, and it's going to puff out and be red in a sec.
A lot of people cry for Sunday interview. They get very emotional like that. You don't have to blame it on the water.
I really love him. He's amazing. So 16, 11, 8. And
you're right you're right in the throes of it.
Right.
And that's there's a big difference between an 8-year-old and a 16-year-old in there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, my 16-year-old is actually my stepdaughter. But her dad's in her life and he's awesome. He's a great guy. Does a great job. So she bounces back and forth between the two.
Yeah.
So it's a weird struggle there sometimes, but looking at the difference between the 8-year-old and the 16-year-old, and granted, I've been in her life since she was 2. It's been basically been her dad. So it is a and just the difference in technology and everything in the social media and everything that's happened in that short amount of time has been a crazy thing. And I'm watching my 8-year-old start going down the path too. You know, she's she's starting to talk about Christmas. And I'm like, it's August. What are you doing? And she goes, Dad, this is what I want. And then she pushed it over and it was an Apple Watch.
Oh,
I says, sweetie, what do you need an Apple Watch for? You don't even have a phone.
Right.
Oh, well, I need the phone too. I was like, you're 8. It's not happening, man. Especially not a brand new iPhone. You could have the hand-me-downs that connect to the Wi-Fi. No problem. But we're not there yet. We're not quite there. And I just don't want to.
And it's, I don't know if you guys watched that, what's it called, The Social Dilemma? And it's, those are all things that we kind of knew, right? Like, kind of know where we're surfing, what we're looking at. We know that they're kind of starting to feed us things that we tend to like, or and it, so it cultivates these echo chambers that we all kind of get to live in based on all that stuff. And it's not healthy for any of us, I don't believe, you know. And they literally, you know, they program all the apps and all the social media sites. They program things so that, like, it's literally dopamine hits,
right,
that we're getting as we're hitting things. And I mean, how do you escape that? Because you can't avoid it all.
Throw it away if you can, but we can't.
Yeah, throw it away if you can.
I propose we all go back to 1998 flip phones.
Yeah, man.
You can still text, pain in the butt, but you can still make phone calls, but you're not quite as connected. You know, I'd be happy with that happy medium.
Yeah, I would too. I think we're probably the last. We're probably the, let's go ahead and say we're the best generation.
Yes, sir. Yes,
because
Gen X, baby.
We grew up with nothing, right? Like, no electronics until, you know, we were out riding bikes, build bonfires, hanging out with our, you know what I mean? Then we kind of got ushered in. Kind of with it. So we know both worlds.
Yes.
We know what it's like to not have it, plug into every part of your life and every minute of your day.
We're
the only generation that really got that.
The first to be able to program the VCR.
Right.
Some kids watching this right now, what's a VCR?
VCR beta.
Oh, man.
I had watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure with me. Right. And they're like, what is that thing? What are they traveling through?
Right. What's the phone booth?
Right.
Crazy.
Man.
Listen, when the band first started touring, mid-90s, we had to stop at phone booths to call, like, our girlfriends. And we'd line up and wait. And then we got pagers. The label got – we were already signed. They were – giving us pagers, and it would, like, they would, the charts would come out and they would send us a text with, like, how the songs were doing on the chart.
Right.
We finally got the flip phone and it had minutes, right? Like, you had so many minutes. We had a band phone. Like, nobody could use it, you know, unless it was, we all signed off on it to use. You had more minutes than I had. And so after that, it kind of, fell forward pretty quickly. But it was a wild, wild west at first.
Yeah. God, 1995. Is that when you guys went on your first tour?
Yeah, well, not late. Let's see. We all got together late 93, early 94. So we started touring out 94, 95, 96. 95, 96, early 97. I mean, we were out 300 days a year. I mean, van and trailer. Hitting all the college towns.
I graduated 93. So, I mean, Sister Hazel and its early prime there is like, that touches on the formidable years of JP right there.
97. And that was my high school. Yeah.
It's crazy, right? It was, it's still like a portal. You know, I never want to be looked at like the nostalgia. I don't, of course, want to be a nostalgic. Luckily, we've had kind of a long career with things along the way, but there's no doubt that music that you're connected to in high school and college, that stuff is in your hard wiring, man.
Yeah.
That stuff is in your DNA. I don't care how old you get, you hear that song and it puts you right back with that person or that night or that trip.
That's how I am with music too
for me.
Champagne High?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about that, man. What did that... I'm interviewing you.
Oh, please. Interview the hell out of Nick, Ken.
Oh, well, gosh. I'm curious, man. Champagne High. That would be...
Yeah, so how did it resonate with you? Where'd you hear it first and all that?
A girl I was dating back then was like, hey, check this out. This is a great song. We were parked somewhere and... Yeah, it was a great song. Good time.
That's awesome. Man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
you still,
I want more details.
With that person?
No.
That's not one of your baby mamas, is it?
No,
I'm just kidding.
Absolutely not.
oh man!
Wow, man.
We all have that, right? We have those the songs that remind us of a person or a place, or you know, like I said, like an event. And sometimes it's just a feeling, you know, like the way you felt at that time. And a song like All For You, like people will go, man, don't you guys ever get tired of playing that song? And I'm like, well, I'm not like getting off on it musically necessarily, but man, how fun is it to look out?
Yes.
And see everybody light up. It doesn't matter if we're in, you know, Muskegon, Michigan or Mexico City. It doesn't matter, man. That song just lights people up. And what a gift, you know, that's been for us. And that song certainly, you know, opened the door for people to hear songs like Champagne High and Change Your Mind and stuff like that.
All For You has got to be the encore song, right?
Yeah, sometimes we end the set with it or last couple songs. I don't like to play it last because I think that it gets people fired up. So I like to ride that energy.
Yeah.
You know, we can kind of follow it up a little bit. So in the last couple songs are the main set.
Now, 21 years old, if my math is correct, that means your son was born in Y2K.
Yeah, he was born in 2000, June 12th, 2000.
How old were you, if you don't mind me asking, when you became a father?
Okay, how old was I? So 21 years ago, so I was 33.
Yeah. First time father. Okay, so you got kind of a late start, at least as far as the averages would go, because I was 34 for my first child. And 2000, first child, 7-8 years of touring. How did that change you? Did that change the life? I mean, of course it did. That's a stupid question.
This is Dadcast. So this is Dadcast. So this is a good share for this, right? So I'm actually married to my wife Tracy 25 years this week, which is fantastic, right? Thank you. We've been dating, you know, 3 or 4 years before that. So she was with me before there was a Sister Hazel, before there was a record deal, you know, through all the touring and all that. And, you know, she knows I didn't miss a whole lot of parties and all that. But my history is that when I was a teenager, my little brother was diagnosed with cancer and he passed away at 18. So when I was 16 to 20, you know, I was in bands and I was playing football and surfing, doing all those things that we do, right? Skateboarding and hanging out, chasing girls. But we were also dealing with chemotherapy and mortality and all these things. And he passed away at 18 when I was 20. And so I had that kind of traumatic time. And I used a lot of, I drank a lot to kind of navigate that stuff. But fast forward, I always wanted to be a dad. I always knew that was a part of myself that I really felt like I could play that role pretty well. But what happened to me was we'd been torn a lot. Things had kind of escalated a little bit, not missing too many parties. And when my wife told me that she had gotten pregnant, I had this immediate thought of, oh shit, I couldn't protect my little brother. How am I going to protect this kid? And that was when my anxiety kind of went crazy. My drinking went crazy. A lot of things amped up. And that kind of started that snowball. I ended up, like I said, it took till he was about 2 for me to kind of come out of that thing. But he and my kids are the greatest thing that ever happened. So all of those things that I worried about, I worried about the wrong things with my kids, you know?
Right.
But that, you know, I think a lot of guys, you know, they feel like they're going to be a dad and, you know, you're supposed to be like, yeah. And a lot of people are like, oh shit, I didn't expect to be a shit. But then when it happened, I had all this stuff in my head that I hadn't really dealt with.
Right.
You know, that was like, and it scared the crap out of me. And I was like, I don't know if I can be that vulnerable again, or, you know, not in control. How am I going to protect this kid and all that? So that was, you know, for some of you new dads out there, that might be feeling maybe a little guilty that you're anxious or you're feeling weird about some of that stuff. You're not alone.
Absolutely not. But, and, you know, in my case, I was both. If it's possible, if you can have how am I going to do this? Yes. Simultaneously. Yes. That was me. Yes. It was fear and excitement, anxiety. How am I going to be able to do this? But at the same time, let's go, baby. Give me that ball. Yeah. I'm running.
Yeah.
I am. Then of course, now we look back on it and what were we worried about? At least the good ones, right? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But we don't know. And you don't know. No. And to each and every individual.
Six kids. And for me, like every one of them up till my latest baby was, oh shit.
Did you say six?
I have a 1-year-old. My oldest is 23.
Wow.
So yeah, so like the
you
the
still
1-year-old,
have some air.
Now I do. Grew it back.
I've been telling him to grow it back for weeks.
My latest baby, I was like super excited. Like we did IVF, so it was a long process of planning and, you know, being older, financially stable, and able to handle it all. It's a whole different ball game. Like when I was 18, I was like, oh shit, what am I doing?
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, JP, what you said, I use that a lot with people. Like people will have certain feelings about anything they're tackling in life. And I'm like, you're allowed to be scared and excited at the same time.
Yep.
You know, it's like being pregnant. It's like for our wives or our partners or whatever. It's like,
I can't speak on that.
Uncomfortable and it's whatever. Yeah. You know, you're fearful of whatever, but you're still excited too. And it's hard to kind of explain that, but I think it's very natural.
So that leads into a good question. Baby number two rolls around for Ken Block.
Yeah.
How was that? I got this, no issues, no anxiety, or was there a little bit of the same still present?
Well, I had just, my wife was pregnant with our second when I went in to what my bandmates called band camp, which I called rehab, but they called band camp.
Right.
And so, you know, there was a little collateral damage flying around just from, you know, look, I had to pull it together. I had a lot going on. The band came off the road for a little bit, but I look at her almost as I was so grateful for that kid, because she gave me a kind of reason to refocus, to put something before myself again, to have, you know, show my wife how much all of them meant to me. And I got to tell you, man, I've been so blessed with the relationship I have with all three of my kids. And that second one coming, I was ready, because I was like, I was much better with her. By the time she came in the world, I was sober, right? So I was sober 6 months or whatever. And when Chance was born, I wasn't. My anxiety, you know, I was up and down.
Yeah,
I was
like, of course. Yeah.
When Marley was born, I had kind of a clear head. I was focused, and it wasn't brand new. Like, I knew that I know how to hold this kid. I know I'm great with him. We're together. I wasn't as afraid as I was the first time.
Yeah. Brand new, completely different though.
Oh, absolutely.
I think if you get through two, ask Nick. Nick wouldn't be the pro on this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, first one, oh shit, excited. Same time. Second one, I got this. Wait, it's different.
Yeah.
Third one, good to go, right? Good to go. There's no surprises, right, Nick?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then, like, on the sixth one, it kind of, everything was different. Like, we had medical issues, so it was it was all completely different. So it was like, do I hold him too much? Do I it was just weird. And then with COVID, you know, I couldn't be in the hospital for the first 3 months of his life. So I saw him like once a week for a couple hours just because of the COVID guidelines and stuff. And so it was rough. There was a while there where it felt like he wasn't mine when he got home. So because he was he's very attached to mom because mom was there 24/7 all the time. So there's those kind of issues trying to overcome. And now he's like my best little buddy, but it was just kind of a weird situation for the first 6 months of his life.
Absolutely. And he's doing well now.
Yeah. Now he's a 35-pound chunk that has an attitude and thinks he's like king of the world.
He, of course, he owns the joint, man.
Yeah, he does.
He's the CEO of Dadcast, by the way. Did you not know?
Wow. Right.
All about he's really Coco Melon and quickly, Liam all day, every day.
I hate to bring this up, but I got to. Yeah. You mentioned COVID, Nick. Now, by the way, the dating of this recording is August 11th, 2021. We are in the midst, at least our state is apparently in the midst of another swash of infections of COVID. You mentioned you're in Florida. I know that's another one of the hotspot states. How are things in that regards right now in Florida?
Well, a couple of things. Florida's a little bit like the Wild Wild West.
Oh, it is. I love me some Florida, by the way. I go there every single year. We stay in Hollywood, go to the Keys, get me some fish tacos. It's my favorite place in the world.
Oh, yeah. And Florida's so diverse with, you know, you've got the Panhandle, North Central Florida. You got Orlando, Tampa, that Central Florida. You got South Florida, and the Keys is a whole other universe.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a lot of different stuff going on here. Here's what I'll say. We're a hot spot for sure. I actually know more people now who have COVID or are dealing with it than I did the whole first time, first go around.
And that's what's happening over here too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's eye opening. It's, as a musician, let me talk about it from that standpoint for a minute. You know, we didn't really work for about 15 months. I mean, we had a couple live stream things. You know, we've got a little more fame than fortune. We got to work. We're a working band.
Yeah.
So, you know, a year and a half with not a lot of income, that was tough for our whole industry. For a crew guys, you know, engineers, lighting guys, venues, bartenders, the restaurants around the venues, bands, management, agents, all that stuff. So our industry really took a hit, like others, but ours did for sure. And now that we're getting back, we're all very excited. We're doing more shows. But we are concerned that as things start ramping up, that it's going to get shut down again. And so I'm hoping that people take as many precautions as they can so that we can all keep working and keep this economy going, keep our guys paychecks coming in. I'll tell you, just this week, you know, guys, we know Blackberry Smoke, one of their guys got sick. They had to pull their tour down. Leon Bridges had to pull his tour down. Counting Crows pulled back. They canceled shows. You know, just this week,
Limp Bizkit shut down their show.
Limp Bizkit.
They're just starting to get back again.
I know. We're just getting back. We're so excited. And people are so excited to be getting back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, together. So, you know, I really hope that everyone, you know, looks at it and says, look, what can we all do to try to be able to keep doing these things and keep things going? But it's a bizarre, look, we've never been through this stuff before. You know, we've never been through it before. And our job as musicians is, let's bring everybody as close together as we can.
Right.
And have them all screaming. And you know what I mean? So
did you see
we put together some drive-through shows. What was that, Nick?
We actually do shows on the side too. So like I've been a concert promoter for 20 years.
Oh yeah.
So part of Dadcast now, we're bringing in some of the guests that we've had on the show to come in and perform in Southern Oregon. So we have a show coming up Friday that went from in person to it's now 90% hybrid, 10% in person. So we're working on, we've got a deal with Randy Couture. So he's actually helping us share the live stream so we can get more live stream viewers and raise money for his GI Foundation. And
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's a weird thing. I've like being a promoter, I've never seen anything like this where you got to adapt to live streaming and figure out, okay, how can we get revenue coming in that way to pay everybody and keep, like, we have a crew on this show of like 15 people of camera operators, lights, sound. Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is just unreal.
It's a lot of moving parts. Good for you though, for keep moving forward, because every one of those 15 people, they're getting a paycheck that week. So we hope. Know it helps. Every little bit's helping. We hope.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's definitely interesting. And then talking to friends that are in the industry, like, you know, you, and then friends with the guys in Eve 6 and Sugar Ray and stuff. And yeah, they're Matt, just like, how do we adapt to this, and how do we, you know, keep playing shows, keep the fans happy, keep selling albums, keep selling singles. And
I have an answer.
Go ahead, JP.
The answer is, how do we keep this going? God, you know, a year ago, the thought of me saying this would have blown my mind. But here I am. Yeah. Get vaccinated.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I personally look.
The science is there.
We have some different views within our camp, politically, spiritually.
Okay.
And, COVID-wise. And so we have some spirited conversations about some of that. But my personal take, and I'll speak for me, is that, look, we don't have a lot of tools to deal with this. And whether it's about, let's just talk about keeping ourselves in work, right? The only thing we can do to keep working is to try to beat this thing back with the only things we have, which is hygiene, washing your hands, masks, you know, distance when you can, and get a vaccine.
Yep.
That's really all we have to try to keep things going. And, you know, I'm going to do everything I can personally to try to get things going. I understand people's concerns. I do. But I really think for the greater good, both physically, health-wise, but also economically, to keep things going. Boy, I would hate to backslide again.
Yeah, okay. We all would.
Vaccine praise. I got COVID. I was in a car with JP for 6 hours, and JP is vaccinated and didn't get COVID.
But I wasn't vaccinated at the time. Was I?
Really?
Yeah, you were.
Was I?
Yeah, yeah.
When did we
get vaccinated?
May Cinco de Mayo was my, I remember that. So when was our trip to?
It was after Cinco de Mayo.
Okay, so yeah. I was vaccinated. Yeah. He had COVID. We didn't know he did.
Were vaccinated.
In the car together. Like, that's close.
Yeah. I would never knowing
8 hours
car with somebody if I had COVID.
Yeah. Disclaimer. No. Disclaimer out there.
How did you make it through, Nick? Were you okay?
It was the worst sickness I've ever had. Like, it started out with the worst headache, and I'm like, it was a weird headache all day. Yeah. And then when I got home, I just, I crashed. And then for a week and a half, my joints hurt more than they've ever hurt. I couldn't breathe. Yeah. It's not fun. I know some people make it through. Yeah, some don't.
Yeah.
Recently, right when COVID first started coming around, I was hanging out with Art from Everclear and the singer from Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, yeah. He got sick.
And Adam was totally fine. And then Max from U6 texted me and said, hey, Adam passed away. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, he was.
He was one of the first of our industry. That was such a tragedy, man.
One of the nicest guys I've ever met. And, you know, that thing you do, one of the greatest movies of all time. And
absolutely. Oh, brilliant guy.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's my brother has it right now. My older brother, he was vaccinated. But I think it's keeping him from dying. Honestly, he's got pre-existing conditions. And, you know, I want to be as respectful as I can with people's concerns. I would always sort of, I would always push them towards asking people like your doctor. You know, don't ask your friends on social media.
Right.
You know, if you had a brain tumor, you'd call your oncologist.
The answer is not on Reddit.
Right.
Okay. It's not. The answer is not on that meme you shared on Facebook. I am sorry. And I do respect everyone's choices and opinions, but gosh, there's some science to all this, and it's been a year and a half.
I don't see anyone I know get unnecessarily you know, hospitalized or scarred. I mean, I have some lung issues. You can hear it a little bit now myself, and it's not fun, man. People, this COVID, this Delta don't play.
Right, exactly. And if I had a buck for all the stories that have come out in the last year and a half of all the people who were, it's not real, I'm anti this, and, you know, to each their own, but a buck for every one of those who believed that, got sick, thankfully recovered, and then said, whoa, was I wrong? And we don't have those from the many that died that said that. Right. We would go, man, how did this turn to COVID? I apologize. That's my fault. I asked how things were going in Florida. I should have just said, I should have said, how are the fish tacos, Florida, man?
Things in Florida are, you know, it's Florida is a, is always a little bit of the wild, wild west. Like I said, a lot of diversity here, a lot of colorful characters.
Yeah. The Florida man, you know? Right?
Florida man. Yeah, long before there was COVID, the headlines from Florida were always like, you know, hold my beer. You know?
Exactly. How far are you? So are you still, you're in Gainesville?
Still in Gainesville.
And that's northeast, northwest?
North central.
North central.
Kind of right in the middle of the state. Yeah.
Okay. So
we're about an hour and a half from the Atlantic and about an hour from the Gulf.
Okay. That's a. You got both sides right there. We've talked about actually moving to Florida. I run radio stations, and my current one, Pirate Radio, is actually based out of Dania Beach, well, way south.
Oh, nice.
And as part of that work, me and the lady and the family would go out there, excuse me, every, you know, once a year doing the Miami Boat Show. And, and I fell in love. But granted, I have never been to Northern Florida, but. Man, totally that different. Oh yeah,
they're
but
all
that,
different.
That here. South Florida lifestyle is it's nice.
Yeah. I love the Keys too.
Yeah,
I love the Florida Keys, man. It's like you're in, you know, you're
a whole new world,
man. Whole other different. It's like a different country almost.
Alabama Jacks, man. Every time we go, we stop there on the way. Man. Take that old highway. Man. Oh man. Oh, and the I can't think of it right now. The food. Appetizers. Conch fritters, maybe. Conch fritters. Oh, Nick, you got to have a conch fritter, man. We got to go.
Dude, so good.
We can go visit. We can't move to Florida, though. We got Dadcast is going too good. So.
Okay, fair enough. Not yet. Not yet, at least.
Not yet, right.
Once I get that, you know.
You can have Dadcast.
Not until we get that Joe Rogan money.
Live from Dania Beach.
Right. We could do that.
We can definitely do that.
I got peeps down there. Oh, well, that's something to think about there, Nick. So
I'm intrigued.
Dude, I'm telling you, the fish, you think my fish tacos are good.
I love fish tacos, man. And I love the beach. So I think it's a win-win.
Oh, it is. And I got this perfect B&B place right on Hollywood Beach, right next to the Margaritaville in Hollywood. It's literally steps from the beach, like $70 a night. Total ghetto garbage little freaking home, but you're not staying inside. It's just to sleep.
No.
It's a beautiful thing.
Love it. I love that.
So I'm spoiled. I've sold mattresses for 20 years, so I don't think I could stay in a little. I'd have to find a little bit nicer with a nicer mattress.
Well, you got it. Location, location, location. Do you want a better mattress and have to take an Uber to the beach, or do you want to get very little sleep on a very uncomfy mattress and open the door and boom, there's the water?
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
I think you can suffer for a few days, but
everything's a trade-off, right?
So, do your kids realize that Dad's a superstar?
You know, it's funny. I think my kids realize, you know, I got recognized a whole lot more when they were littler.
Yeah.
So now as they've gotten a little bit older, you know, here's a good example. Like you'll have, you know, I live in a college town, right? So like some college girl will walk up to the table somewhere and they'll be like, are you the guy from Cicero's? And I'm like, well, yes, I am. And they're like, you're my mom's favorite band.
This is where we are in life now.
Yes. So, you know, they know a little bit, but you know, we do this thing called the Rock Boat. We started it 21 years ago. We were the first band to charter an entire cruise ship and take all these people out and started a festival at sea, right? And when I started taking my kids on that a few years back, that's when they kind of went, oh, you know, because they were with me for a few days and, you know, fans everywhere, all these other bands coming up talking. They're like, oh, you know, I kind of get it a little bit more now. or when my kids all played soccer, I'll be on the sideline of some soccer game and, you know, some soccer mom will come up and want her picture taken with me or something like that. But they, you know, they've been around it their whole life. So they're not impressed by a whole lot. but we all, I will say, we are all of us are super duper close. So they still like to hang out with the old man. That's what I care about.
That's awesome. Is now this rock boat that's coming up again real soon, isn't it?
And you got our buddies Bowling for Soup going with you on this one.
Yeah we had Jared on a couple weeks ago. Well, yeah. Gosh, really? A month ago now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to having those guys on the boat.
Where's what port? What port is it leaving from?
Miami.
Oh.
Yeah. See there? So listen, go now we got to backtrack. So so we had to move it from last January. You know, COVID shut down everything. So we moved it to November coming up. But then Norwegian is requiring vaccinations to get on the boat. Now, so we did have, I don't know, we have got like 900 cabins on there. So we had, I think about 100 cabins come back, something like that. So it's the first year right now where we've been this close to a sailing and there are still a few cabins left. And that was all because people were like, I'm not going to go if I have to get vaccinated. And I thought it was a bummer, but you know, if this is the year that you've thought about going out and trying it, there's actually a few cabins left for people to get.
How does DadCast work their way into this? And when is the sale date?
It's like that first week of November. And I'll have Marianne email you about that.
Okay. Okay. Because yeah. My wheels are spinning. The amount of on-site podcasts we could perform in that short amount of time.
There's a lot of dads on this boat.
Yes, there is. And yeah, guess what, Nick? You don't drink anymore, and neither do I. And it's completely free drinks from what I've read.
That's right. It is free
drinks. Damn it. It's like, gah.
Yeah, but Trey, take it from me, man. We can do it. You can still have a blast on there.
Well, if there's free fish tacos, man, I'm in. Fasting can go to hell that week.
Plenty of fish tacos, man. And if you want, we can put it in a glass. So instead of carrying around drinks, you can have a fish taco with an umbrella, you know, in a glass.
Ken, you may be onto something. Like, period. We can market that.
There's not enough tacos and cups.
There isn't. I mean, just the Bloody Mary, they put everything in there. Why not a fish taco?
That's right. They
just
throw it in, right?
Nick, I got your wheel spinning. I ain't kidding.
Be there.
Get on this cruise.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk to Marianne.
Yeah, have her. I'm dead serious. Yeah. Absolutely.
I am too. We'd love to have you guys out there.
Ken, are you ready for one of my favorite things we do on podcasts or on DadCast here?
Yeah, man.
It is time.
Let's do it.
For Nick's Fast Five.
All right.
Ooh, okay.
Nick's going to ask you five questions. You just answer away.
Okay. What is your favorite Sister Hazel song to play live?
Champagne High.
Okay. What's your favorite song to cover?
Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac.
Ooh. Okay.
Dig it.
Get the rest of my list here.
Nice.
What is your go-to order at your favorite hometown restaurant?
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
Pizza, veggie pizza, best pizza in the world.
Okay. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
He loves this question.
I do.
If I could have a billboard with anything on it, it would say something like, we all need it. We all need each other. Pull it together, people. Something like that.
I like that a lot.
All right. And I always like to add one, too. If Ken Block and the band Sister Hazel, or you solo, take your pick, can play any show to open for any artist, living or dead, in the history of time, who would it be?
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. We never got to do that. We never got to do it. I mean, we know a couple of those guys.
Yeah, I've seen Tom. Tom, gosh, multiple, like at least a dozen times. I grew up in L.A., so always.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we grew up in the same town. We all know the same families. You know, I'm the next guy that, you know, I played in those same fields, bonfires, frat houses. My kids and my wife all went to the same high school that he went to. But somehow we never got to do a show with those guys. And so that's one of those kind of bummer things that will never get to happen.
Yes, man. That takes
me
back.
What a body of work, right?
Yeah. I did a I as I said, I work in radio, and at the time of Tom Petty's passing, I worked for a classic rock station that will not be named. And sorry, Nick gets that. But at the time, I had to come up with something because I felt it was my duty. Of course, you know, I got thousands of people listening to this show. I was afternoon drive. People are coming home. They're listening to JP on the radio. What can I do? And rules all to hell, I threw in the trash can and I played Tom Petty straight for an entire hour. And of that hour, granted, I had to pick what I felt personally was the best sounds, best tracks that I could put on that hour. And I spent literally 3 hours of my day trying to figure out what hour or how to fill that particular hour. And then you know what I did? I did another hour. So it was two straight hours of Tom Petty on the radio. Yeah. I didn't get in trouble from the boss.
You can't go.
And everyone loved it. And it was.
You can't.
Yeah.
You know, I like you. I probably saw that band, you know, a half dozen times live. Every time I left there thinking they could have played another hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And every song would have been, you know, an anthem. It's just that that body of work resonates with so many people of all walks of life. And what American treasure, man. Guy was an American treasure.
Yes, he was. Ugh. And it just keeps happening. It seems like our all of our faves when we were kids are starting to starting or here and there. They drop, and it's just, I guess that's life.
That one hit me the hardest.
Yeah,
that one hit me the hardest. Losing Petty.
Prince hit me pretty hard. Prince hit me something fierce, too.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah,
that guy's musical genius,
Eddie
right there.
Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, Eddie. See, yeah, that one, one hit more. Now we're bringing them all up. That one hit hardest Eddie's, for me.
Eddie Van Halen's kid, though. I don't know if you guys have heard his band.
Oh yeah,
holy shit, he's killing it.
He actually
Wolfie.
Oh my gosh, Wolfgang? Yeah.
They're opening for Guns N' Roses like tonight. Yeah. I think at Allegiant.
Yeah,
really,
it's good. It's really, really good stuff.
That's fantastic, man. Yeah.
I could be wrong about that date, but I know they are opening for Guns N' Roses at some point. In fact, that concert may have already happened. I'm not sure.
Well, you know what? You know, talking about a body of work, like we were talking about earlier, a time portal, you can put on those Van Halen records. And for me, man, I mean, all those, you know, Van Halen 1, Van Halen 2, Fair Warning.
Oh, Diver Down. Come on.
Raw stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Women and Children First. Oh my God. It's like, that's so, you know, just part of me.
Yeah. That was my big brother graduated high school in 83. So in LA. So he is literally,
you were deep in it.
He's in the Van Halen. He's in the Motley Crue. He's in all of that scene. He'd go there and, you know, little 8-year-old JP would just be listening to big brother's music. Yeah. And that's how what turned me on to Van Halen. And Eddie Van Halen is, sucks so much. It's that we'll never get to hear that man play live, but thankfully all the music is still there and will, you know, it lives on. No doubt. That's what I love about music. Nick,
the Twister soundtrack is what got me with Van Halen. That whole Humans Being song.
Oh, it's so great, right?
It's so different and so like, what the hell?
Where is that Hagar?
I can't remember. Was it Hagar or was it was it Sharon? I thought it was Sharon that was singing.
Oh, that's not Van Halen. I'm sorry.
I've got to Google it now because now I'm
Extreme is not Van Halen, buddy.
Hold on.
And if Nick, you know, we're going to have a talk off the air here. If that's the Van Halen song that gets you, we need to have a serious talk, buddy.
About that song. It was just different. It was like it was Van Halen, but it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
I'll tell you, man, I was a huge Sammy Hagar fan as the Red Rocker.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, prior to him getting in there. And obviously they made some great music with Sammy, but I was a Roth guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I love those first records.
He's a showman, man. Dropping names, Joe Rogan. Have you listened to the podcast? He was on it not too terribly long ago, David Lee Roth. It's like a
part of it.
3-hour interview. And
yeah.
That man is just, he's a wild, crazy man. And
dude,
in between all his craziness, you're like, oh my God, you're actually very intelligent dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt he's got a genius thread through there. Listen, for years, everything that came out of his mouth was perfect. You know what I mean? He was Diamond Dave.
Yes.
And now somewhere along the line, he turned into like Carol Channing or something. but I don't know how that happened. And now I look back and I'm like, well, that's just karate moves and tights. But at the time, it was like they were from another planet. And Eddie would come flying in on his knees and Roth is kicking. It's like, where are these guys from, you know? But Roth, it was all, every move was calculated with him, I believe.
Yeah, and he was very theatrist. Did you figure it out, Nick?
Yeah, it was Hagar.
It was, okay.
Hagar, yeah.
I take it but back.
It was like, it was harder than anything that Hagar had ever done with Van Halen, though. It's just a completely different kind of side of Van Halen. I was like, wow.
Now I got to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, what?
I always leave it to Nick to throw out the completely random, like, Twister soundtrack. Man, really?
I listen to NSYNC when I go to the gym.
If you want some Sammy Hagar, I want you. Here's an obscure one: the heavy metal soundtrack. Remember that?
Oh, I love it, man.
God, I
covered that song. Headbands in leather.
Yeah. Gosh,
that song, man.
Speaking of things
your one-way ticket to midnight. I love it. Yeah.
Speaking of things that we're glad we didn't have cell phones and pictures of back in that day, that particular movie and a particular illicit hallucinogenic drug back in the day were a fantastic combination. Just saying, drugs are bad, kids.
You were not alone in that.
But God,
there are a lot of parallel lives.
Gosh, and John Candy was no Nick. You got to watch that flick. It's crazy. Yeah, I don't know if it's
out,
but you're gonna look at it now and be like, this animation is terrible. But back then, real good.
It was awesome. That whole soundtrack was awesome.
Yes, it was. Yeah. You got something, Nick? I'm sorry.
I don't.
I do that. I get excited and this happens.
I love it, man. We share a brain.
Now, let me ask you this. We're getting real close to the end of our time, Ken.
Okay.
Is the idea of Grandpa anywhere in your future? have you touched on it? Have you thought about the fact? Because you're closer, I think, to being one than not being one, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, look, I know it's coming. I don't like the idea of Grandpa or like, I know, because listen, kids come up with the name. You can say you want to be, you know, whatever. Like,
right. Papa, Opa.
You know, I had a friend. Yeah, I want to be called Rock or something, you know. But you end up being Peepaw.
Right. You know what I mean?
And I'm more worried about that, like what name's going to stick than anything. But, you know, look, as I still am a kid, man. It's like arrested development for me. I think part of the reason my kids like to hang out with me is I still, you know, I still act like a kid.
Yeah.
So grab them, take them to the beach, let's go surf and let's go. You know what I mean? What I hope is that I'm in good enough health as grandkids come around that I can kind of relive that again and hand them back.
That's the beauty about being grandparents from what I've been told. And I'll tell you this, I will end this beautiful, amazingly awesome conversation with you on this point. If I ever get called Peepaw, I'm going to wear that some bitch with a badge of honor. Because if I made it that long, you know, good for me. It's
absolutely, man.
Peepaw Pierce. I think it's fitting.
It is kind of fitting. It kind of works.
Ken Block of Sister Hazel. You know what? No. I'm not going to end this. Not just quite yet. We didn't even touch on it, Nick. You guys have kind of gone country recently.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Know, it's funny, man. We, none of that was like a, let's go make a country record or this. We always have like about, we're always writing, right? So almost every record that we go into, we've got between 60 and 80 songs to kind of start sifting back through and new ones coming in. And, you know, a few years ago, we all kind of gravitating towards these songs that leaned a little bit more country. And, you know, if you go back and listen to any of our records, like Fortress That Has Champagne High. Listen to the song Fortress. Listen to it's like we always have a little bit of that in there, but we made a couple records and they definitely leaned a lot more on that part of what we do. And then they were super well received. And so we were like, man, that feels great. And it feels cool to be in a band that can play, like, let's say we play before Foo Fighters at, you know, Midtown in Atlanta. And then we play the Grand Ole Opry last month. Not a lot of bands can, you know, pull that off. And we kind of do it just by being ourselves and leaning this way or leaning that way. But the fact that we had a, you know, a top five record again in the last couple of years has been, I mean, who gets to do that in the 90s, in the zeros, in the teens, and then again, you know, coming up now. So we just have, this is what gratitude looks like.
That's pretty right impressive, here. Man. But I mean, if you really want to step your game up, man, you need one more genre you guys need to tackle. Then I'm sold and I'm totally impressed. You ready?
Yeah.
Gangster rap. No.
I'm so
on that note, so you need to go to a Bare Naked Ladies concert.
It's like, I like it. I just can't do it. I like it.
Ditto. Ditto.
I like it too much to try it.
Get this. I'm not Brit.
Like, we did a holiday record, right? And all of us brought in three songs. This is a few years back. And we all got to produce those songs however we wanted. And like, Mark brought in a symphony and, you know, a couple guys that were, you know, some funk tracks a little bit. And Ryan did a little rap. Actually, you could check that out. And I said, we need to do something for everyone. And let's do the dreidel song. And I go, how do we do the dreidel song? How, you know, the chosen people never would do it. So we did it bluegrass. So we got this bluegrass version of the dreidel song on there. And I'm like, it works. It totally works. And it sounds like Sister Hazel. You know, the five of us get behind our instruments, and whether it's bluegrass, whether it's harder rock, southern rock, country stuff, acoustic stuff, for better or worse, sounds like Sister Hazel.
Huh. Interesting.
You're saying so, at Brit. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm at Brit, which is like the huge, nice concert venue in Jacksonville, Oregon. Yeah. Bare Naked Ladies are headlining. So I had dinner with them, hung out with the guys, and they're like the nicest guys, right? Like, sit down in the crowd to watch the show, and it's like the most boring concert ever. Like, just instantly, three songs in a row, I'm like, fuck, it's not going to be exciting. All of a sudden, they go into gangster rap. They do some Dr. Dre.
That's right.
They knock out some Eminem. And the singer just freaking nails it. I'm like, holy crap. Man. And then it turned into like the funniest concert I've ever been to. Like, the jokes and the...
Those guys are really bright.
Yeah.
They can dance and stuff too. I'm like,
yes. Oh my gosh.
Who can do that? Yeah. Not this guy. I know what the limits are.
It's
not going to be dancing or gangster rapping.
Yeah.
Now, as far as this rock cruise is concerned, is Sister Hazel headlining... Or is it just
call it like that?
Just smorgasbord of stages.
We say hosted by.
Okay.
And we, you know, part of that is we wanted other bands to feel ownership as well. You know, I never wanted anyone to go, you know, I'm not going to go on that. That's Sister Hazel's boat, or, you know, we're not going to. So we level the playing field. You know, we bring on different headliners every year that people, you know, will know that they'll come for these headliners. But our goal is to have people leave with their next favorite band. So that second tier of bands are bands that we vet, that we think are just amazing. And, you know, we had guys like Zach Brown was on there for 6 years before anyone knew who he was. He was a buddy of ours from Atlanta.
So good.
You know, and playing in the elevator as people were going down, we knew he had something special. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, we were that band. We were the band that we wanted the older guys to go give us a chance to get in front of people. And that crowd on that boat, they adopt those bands and they become really an integral part of their touring life.
Sounds like a fantastic time to me.
Yeah, cool. Man. We're going to send y'all information.
Yeah, that'll be amazing.
Now I got to ask, how do we submit a band to you to get vetted?
Yeah, so
our managers are actually they're a pretty good band. Ben Carey from Lifehouse.
Oh yeah.
Is in the band.
Oh, cool, man. We talked to Lifehouse actually this year about coming out this year, and they couldn't make it work this year. Mm-hmm. So we'll go back to those guys again.
Yeah.
But you know, Six Man is our partner. Six Man's company, and now they do all kinds of cruises. So There are about five of us that go through and vet those bands. So Jen Wettick, that sixth man, is who you need to email stuff to. And we start
kind of mapping through it. Any bands checking it out? There you go.
Inside information.
Yeah.
All right. That is serious. I mean, Ken, I could go on for the next 3 or 4 hours with you, man. I'm having such a good time.
Oh, thanks, man.
It's been
a great time talking to you guys.
It's been an amazing. I'll go ahead. Sorry.
Get some Visine, man.
Oh, it's I'm good. Their eyes, they're not too red. Look, we're good now.
Yeah, they're doing better.
They're nice and white. We're good. They just started watering out of nowhere.
That smoke is coming all the way here, East Coast, man. We had full moon. It was bright pink.
Oh, yeah. Ours is
smoke in the sky.
Ours is a dark. It's so thick. It's a dark blood orange. Oh, like, man. Right at the. It's really cool to look at, but not fun to breathe.
No.
All right. Ken Block.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for taking the time to come on. I would love to. Oh, I'm doing it. Yeah. I'm going to get the commitment right now, Nick. You ready? Yeah. Ken Block.
Yes.
Sir. We like to do a Father's Day special. We're very, very, very far away from the next Father's Day, but I would like to invite you to do a special Father's Day episode with us for 2022. We all get together. It's like a Brady Bunch bunch of windows.
Yeah.
We all get together. Yeah. We talk about dads, wish everyone happy Father's Day, et cetera, et cetera. We'd love to get you on board for that one next year.
Not a chance.
Not happening. Screw those guys. Absolutely. We'll chat more about it on the cruise, maybe. I can tell Jarrett Reddick, Nick, that I can't believe the band's still playing music. That should go over well.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So are you guys still playing music?
I literally asked him that question when we were on the podcast. And it wasn't for my knowledge. It was for the viewers' knowledge. But yeah. I know he was very, very humorous about it, but, you know,
of course,
I know in the back of his mind, he's probably like, really? Really?
Yeah. Man. Yeah.
We've all had texted me and said, what like a douchebag.
You're a liar. All right. Ken Block, thank you for coming on Dadcast again. You've been amazing. You're an amazing dad. We love your stories. We love your band. Thanks, love everything you've done with us today, and we look forward to more in the future. Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Take care of each other.
Absolutely. And everyone else, thanks for hanging out, watching. Go ahead and comment. You got a question for Ken down below? Go ahead and type it right down there. And subscribe and like and hook up to all our socials and all that good stuff. You guys are amazing. We'll see you on the next episode. See ya.
Later. Peace.